For a number of weeks in the series that we've been experiencing on transformation and change, as it relates to particular issues, we have tried to face those issues in life in a very real way, head on, trying not to mince words. We have talked about topics and issues of worry, bad memories, and forgiveness. And those have been the issues so far. And it's possible that maybe God has granted you his grace enough where you don't have a deep issue with worry or with bad memories or with the issue of forgiveness and how we've approached that. And it's quite possible that as we begin to approach today's topic, you don't struggle with this issue. But maybe from time to time you experience a little bit of it, or, you know, the cloud of worry comes and then it passes, and it's not really a life event, but just a kind of a daily, momentary type of issue. Or with today's issue, maybe you do know someone who does struggle with this particular issue. And so I would ask you to relate to our time together today in that way, whether you do or you don't struggle with this issue, that you would relate to it in such a way that you would identify with someone who does. I will be speaking in terms of someone who does struggle with this issue, much like I have with worry or bad memories and forgiveness. But it's particularly a difficult one, I think, at times. And so how we have approached these so far is that the first half of our time usually unpacks the issue a little bit more and tries to look at it through the lens of truth and scripture and understanding some maybe hidden things behind particular things like worry. Where does it come from? What's it about? Where does it originate and things of that nature? Or what we're actually saying when we say to ourselves or to others, I can't forgive myself, some of the truths behind there. So we'll take a look this morning in just a couple seconds here at the issue itself. And then we turn to God and his word as he has addressed these issues in order to give us hope and to tell us that real change with these issues is possible. Yeah, it's a struggle. If you battle worry on a deeper level, and it consumes you, it's a struggle. But there is hope for change, not only in the circumstances, but I think more importantly, within ourselves. Because God is at work changing us to be more like Jesus Christ. And sometimes the way he does that, sometimes, is through those circumstances. Maybe you look back on your life up to this point and you see nothing but rot. Nothing but the poor way people have treated you. And it comes out in the way you speak and in the way that you address other people, in the way you approach getting up in the morning. You're just waiting for someone to come at you, so you can give them what for. When all along, God has been trying to soften your heart to be more like Jesus Christ, to love those who are persecuting you and pray for them, rather than rehearsing it in your own mind over and over and over again how unjust you were treated. That's not the issue today. That point being, God is at work to change us from the inside out. Maybe the circumstances will change, and maybe not. But I do know that God is working to change us. This morning, I think that the issue that we're tackling is a harder one to unpack because it has so many layers and possible causes. It's tough. We have a word for it, and we call it depression. But having a word for it to call doesn't actually give us an accurate picture of what depression is. One author describes it this way. You feel numb, and yet your head hurts. You feel empty, yet inside there are screams. You feel fatigue, yet fears abound. Your brain feels like it's in a fog. You feel weighted down. Added to this, the multiple possible causes for depression, and we instantly have a very big issue, topic, and only a very short period of time to unpack it. Things in this life that used to make you feel happy have lost their color. The desire to accomplish goals and tasks is gone, and the monotony of the routine has set in. Life has become colorless, and you feel isolated and utterly alone. As far as the causes for depression, we know that it can be related to some physical diseases. Lupus, Parkinson's, and a host of others have associated with them a relationship to depression, just because of the physical nature of those diseases. On the other hand, you might be taking certain blood pressure or heart medication that one of the side effects is depression. You and I, you know, we watch those commercials if we watch TV, and they tell you to take this pill, and then for 6.5 minutes, they're telling you about the side effects of the pill, which sometimes are worse than the disease. It's like, why would I take that pill? I'm not making light of this, but it just boggles my mind. And I'm not a doctor, so I really don't, the connection isn't there. I wish I understood this better. But there's a pill that I believe deals with depression and thoughts of suicide that can lead to thoughts of suicide. And it's very real. I mean, that's where we live. This issue of depression isn't for somebody else. It's in our back pocket. But that can be a cause. So there's physical disease that have it associated with. There's possible medications, your heart disease pills, your blood pressure pills. But also, depression may mask itself. It might be underneath other things. Your problem with weight, either the loss of or the gaining of weight, can mask depression. We eat to numb the pain, but we're numb ourselves. Or sleep deprivation. Why is it that you can't sleep? You don't feel like sleeping. On the other side of that is you're always tired. Well, that's because you're not sleeping, but underneath it is the root cause of depression. Regardless of the cause, the reality is that as Christians, we face spiritual problems every day. Phil mentioned it many times in his prayer. We have spiritual issues every day, and the battle can be overwhelming at times. Maybe it's one of the other three topics so far, or the coming few. You battle worry, or bad memories, or forgiveness, and it just exhausts you. And then depression sets in, and you feel isolated and alone, utterly alone. Beloved, you are not alone. Abraham Lincoln, Winston Churchill, my favorite preacher, Charles Spurgeon, and others of renown suffered with serious bouts of depression. Charles Spurgeon used to take a vacation once a year, usually to some tropical island without his wife, to battle his depression. Years ago, I remember writing an article about my own battle with depression. for the Fertile Journal. By God's grace, it doesn't affect me as often as it used to. But I am aware that it can show up without warning, so to speak. Beloved, because I know that we face spiritual problems related to depression, what we'll be looking at for an answer isn't really a what or how to deal with, but a who, Jesus Christ. Now please hear me in this. I know that certain aspects of depression can sometimes need medication. And I in no way want to trump that and say all you need is Jesus. But I do want to say that all we need is Jesus and some wisdom on how it is that we use medication. God has provided for us, but He has, more importantly, given us His Word. He has provided the knowledge of how to develop medications that can help with certain issues that we face, be they physical or mental or emotional. But He has, more importantly, given us His Word and His presence. So that as we look to Him, we look to Him first as a matter of priority. And if that seems like snake oil, or maybe even a bit far-fetched, like, well, I've tried Jesus before to help with my depression, but it didn't work. All this religious stuff seems flat. If you battle depression, everything seems flat. Why would Jesus be any different? So you realize that. You may even have depression right now. And you say to yourself, every morning, what's the point of doing anything when I don't feel anything? Most people do things because they feel things. You go out for supper because you feel hungry. That's a physical feeling, but you feel it. And so you do something about it. You get up and you go to work because you feel a sense of accomplishment. You practice your instrument because you feel fear that if you go to your lesson unprepared, you're going to get yelled at. Yeah, I heard somebody chuckle. Yeah. We all know. But that's a feeling, and that's why you practice. We do things because we feel things. It's a broad brush. What I'm about to suggest for a person with depression is that you'll have to learn to live a new way. You'll have to learn how to live not based on what you feel, because in essence, you really don't feel anything. But your brain still hurts. It still hurts. So, we're going to jump right in with both feet. Are you ready? Straight at it. For the time being, feelings have to be set aside, and they have to be replaced with believing. Beloved, we turn to God and believe what He says rather than what we feel. Or in this case, don't feel. And it's a matter of faith. That's what belief is. We trust what God has said. We simply take Him at His word. And we do what He says rather than what we feel about what He says. Illustration. Parents. Especially young parents with two little ones right there just all over the place. It's really cool. As they grow, parents, do you want your children to obey you only when they feel like it? Or because God says they should? Children, obey your parents, for this is right. Now, I want my children to feel good about obeying me. But I want them to obey me even if they don't feel like it. And when they move out, then all bets are off and, you know, other things come into play. But while they're under my roof and I'm feeding them and I'm clothing them, I want them to obey because God says so. I want them to want that, not because they feel that way. If the feelings are there, that's great. It should be. It's subtle, but it's important. And if you are depressed, the new way of living says, I will do what God says because God says it, not because I feel it. And that is a new way of living. Furthermore, if we only did what he says when we feel it, then at those moments and at those times, we are in effect saying that God cannot be trusted in what he says. If my feelings have to align first with what God says to do, and I don't feel like it, therefore I'm not going to do it, then we have replaced God. We don't trust him anymore. The new way of living says believe rather than feel. For the time being. So let's get a little practice for a minute here. You wake up tomorrow, you have no reason to get out of bed. It hurts to even think about functioning in this fog of nothingness. You have no purpose. Why bother? Scripture, in many places, has purpose-oriented statements. The greatest of them is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Do everything you do for the glory of God. And I know that song is now running through your heads and you're all singing it, you know. But that's a purpose statement. It's a do statement. Children, obey your parents. It's a do statement. It's purpose-oriented. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That's a do statement. It's purpose. Under the auspices, under the umbrella, under the bigger rubric of glorify God. Just do it. Right now, you don't feel like it, it's irrelevant. You have to start a new way of thinking and you say, I'm going to get out of this bed. I don't feel like it, but I'm going to believe God and I'm going to do it. And that'll probably take all of the energy you have if you have depression. But that's a new way of living because God speaks to us with purpose. You can then, you'd then have a choice. You have a choice whether or not to believe God at what he says and do it, that he has an ultimate purpose for you, or that all of this religious stuff is just cliche, and I really don't feel like it, so I'm not going to get out of bed. You have a choice to make. You're going to live the old way with your depression, or you're going to believe and do something different to live for his glory. Even more tangible is the scripture that was read. I hope you've turned there in your Bibles. I hope you've stayed there. It's an amazing thing. As Paul is addressing the Corinthian church and how it is that he's unpacking the gospel, we're going to walk through this text a little slowly to see what motivates Paul in his distress, in the pressures that he faces, in the things that are true for him. And what it is that he says is the belief that he has as a motivation to do things in this text. And it begins by saying in verse 14, therefore. You've heard me say it, and I take the opportunity when we can. What's the therefore? Therefore. It is preceded by something in the text that gives us an indication of where we're going to go. So let's look back just a few verses. Verse 13. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. See, he believes in Scripture there, so he speaks, knowing that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will raise up us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Here in our little corner of the world, the church is growing. But it isn't growing the way we expect it to. The church is growing among immigrants. at a faster rate than it is among Anglos. It's growing among Muslims coming here and Hispanics coming here, illegal or legal, doesn't matter. The church is growing in the immigrant population of the United States, not among us. But it is growing. We just don't get to see it a lot. 30,000 people a day in China are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Militant Muslims in the Middle East are having dreams and visions of Jesus Christ, and they're seeking out Christians in the Middle East and saying, "Tell me, what is this?" And they're giving their lives to Christ. We don't hear about those things. It's not going to be on the blogs that you and I read, most likely. "For all things are for your sake, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound and to the glory of God." Now see, there's a purpose statement right there. But then we get to the therefore. So therefore, we do not lose heart. We don't give up. Yeah, we feel warm, but we're not submitting. We're not surrendering. We're not giving up hope. We are actively doing this. We do not lose heart. We do not surrender to the circumstances, to the fog. We live a new way, and we believe. Even though our outer man is decaying, this flesh will not progress. It regresses. You get to a certain point, and you can't do what you used to do. Your hair begins to not recede, but it's in full retreat. And it changes colors on you. And your teeth get these gaps where food hides, and you wonder, where did that come from? This flesh wears out. Paul lived his life of faith to such a degree, he had been beaten and whipped and shipwrecked, and he never stopped. The aches and pains that he probably felt in his body were of his own making in his schedule, because the outer man is decaying, and he knows that. And it's absolutely true. When you were younger, you probably led a very carefree life. There are some children that battle depression. You know, we put stuff on their plate that really shouldn't be. But you lived pretty much carefree. You didn't have to come home until the streetlights turned on, and in Fertile, that could be really late. I mean, I know they come on in town, but out in the country, there are none. You get to run around all night. You didn't have those cares and concerns, but the older you get, the more responsibility and the more things happen. Our outer man decays. The flesh will not endure. This troubled life will give way to the next, and we will be with our Heavenly Father. For the afflictions are producing something. Yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing something. Think about that. Let that swirl around a little bit. Even at the moment, your depression is producing something. That might not feel to you like a light affliction and momentary. You might be suffering with it all your life. It's still momentary in light of eternity. Our lives are blips on the timeline of heaven, because it doesn't have one. It's still momentary light affliction. Let it swirl around. Your depression is producing. What is it? What is depression producing? It's producing pain and hopelessness and fog. And in one sense, that's very true. I don't want to diminish that. That's the experience. But will you choose to believe rather than to feel? And take this verse at its face value. These afflictions are producing an eternal weight of glory. They have substance. And in glory, they're firm, and they're producing in us things that will lead to the praise and glory of God that is beyond all comparison. There is no illustration. We can't put it in a box to get a handle on it. It's beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Therefore, we do not lose heart. This is where real change takes place, beloved. Suffering with depression, when you don't feel anything, but want to feel, believing what God has said and doing what He has said. And then you have a purpose and you've learned a new way of living. And our time is pretty much gone. And we need to move on. And we have barely scratched the surface of dealing with depression. Grabbing a purpose is going to take a long time. And it's hard work. And it's step one. Turning to God and believing rather than feeling, and then finding a purpose. And then what you do with that purpose is you begin to hone it. You begin to strengthen it. You begin to look at it and allow it to inform you and change you from the inside out. And that takes time and effort, which you don't want to do. But it is the first step, because then after that, as hard as that is, the next two steps get even harder. And for a person that's depressed, who doesn't want to get out of bed, doing hard work doesn't look really good. That's why we need a new way of living. And we start by believing. It's like learning to walk all over again. You know what you're supposed to do. You know how feet and legs and those kinds of things are to function, but the nerves in your body just won't tell your legs to do what they're supposed to do. You've got to learn a new way. After purpose comes listening. That's how the honing begins. You listen to others, you help fill out the picture of your purpose, and then you refine it. And you will notice that as that happens, things start to clear up a little bit with the fog. And you have a reason to get out of bed. And there's slight incremental changes. But after listening, we need to think. Because at some point, a person who suffers with depression normally hits a wall. They have a new purpose and they've honed it down, but the emotion and all that isn't there. And so it's like, why bother again? You don't have as much, but it's still, why should I even make the effort? After listening, we need to think. And what is meant there is we need to pay attention to the ways we're thinking. Because we sabotage ourselves. We listen to our voices, our own voice, often in our brain, instead of the voice of God, where we don't lose heart, where we say, yes, Lord, these momentary light afflictions cannot be compared to the eternal weight of glory. And our thoughts, if we identify them, are dark and negative and hopeless. So that you go to work and you turn in the project and they tell you what a good job you did, and your first and immediate reaction is, well, that's only to soften the blow because I know next week they're going to fire me. They just wanted their project. See, that's a dark and negative thought. And when you pay attention to the way you're thinking, those are some of the triggers that can lead to further depression. So we believe God, and we listen to His purposes, and then we think thoughts after Him. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. But there are practical steps towards purpose, and we end with this. While your head is in the fog, find one section of Scripture. Just one short section. Pick a story. Pick the story of Joseph, or of Ruth, or of Jonathan and David, or of Peter fishing, being called by God to become a fisher of men. Doesn't matter where you pick. Pick a portion of Scripture. Stay there. Read a paragraph or two before or after and write out some observations every day. Write them on a napkin. Don't care if you keep them. Just write them out. 5 or 10 observations. Things that you see in Scripture. Just do it. It's a very practical thing. Look for the purpose statement that's there, because it'll be there. After that, when you're in the practice of doing that, write down a few positive things on the same napkin that happened the day before or during this day. Doesn't have to be big. Some stranger held the door for me at Walmart. Some little blessing. Just write it down. And after that practice, after you get into the practice, you might find yourself having to write thank you letters to some people that you know. Not because it's socially right to do so, but because you're actually thankful for what they did. Write down your purpose, whatever God has showed you, and look at it as often as you need it. And in the beginning, it's going to be needed a lot. Like a man who looks in the mirror and tries to draw his own face, he's got to constantly keep looking back at the mirror. What does my nose look like? What does my nose look like? What does my nose look like? And then finally, and this is a big one, find someone who you can hold the door for. Find someone that you can encourage. Not for the sake of the thank you, but because it is in line with your purpose. Because our affliction is light and momentary compared to the eternal weight of glory. Depression is serious and it's real and it hurts. But God is more serious and he's more real and he's willing to help. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word that encourages us. And Lord, we don't leave depression to the professionals, because you are the great physician. You are the lover of our souls. Please help us to carry one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Help us to believe that you have purpose for us each and every day. And help us, by your grace, to win the battles that we have over our issues and our topics. In Jesus' name, amen.